This week's parasha is Parashas Bai. And the pasuk says, famous pasuk, "Vigadeta levincha bayayma huleimar," you should tell over to your son on this day, meaning on the night of Tesvav Nisan, the Leil HaSeder, and you should say to him, "Bavor zeh asa Hashem li betzeisim mitzrayim," because of this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for me when we left Mitzrayim. So we have a mitzvah saseh on the Leil HaSeder to tell over to our children whatever happened on the night of, during the entire experience of Mitzrayim and about the Yitzhiyah of Mitzrayim. There's a special mitzvah in the Torah to tell over to our children that night. And the question is, why is it dafka this mitzvah? Why is it dafka this experience of Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim that's so important to relay over to our children, to the next generation? There are so many other things that we could theoretically be giving over. There could be a mitzvah to tell over a lot of things to our children. What is the uniqueness of Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim that the Torah has to emphasize that I want you to tell this over to your children? We live in times that are very fraught with nisyonos. People have a lot of challenges, a lot of difficulties, and a lot of the difficulty is with emunah. Unfortunately, we live in a dar that our emunah is sometimes wanting. We question things, we get angry with Hashem, and what is the main reason for this? If you would have to, convey in one sentence, in a few words, what is the problem that we have in our dar, and maybe in all daris, not just in our dar, but what would you say is the real overriding question that a young child, that a young person has when it comes to issues of emunah? And I think that the answer is that a person questions, if there's a question, I believe in God. I don't think many people that are sensible, reasonable people would say, I don't believe in God at all. There's a line that somebody once said that it takes a bigger maimon to believe in evolution than to believe in God. It's easier to believe in God than to believe in evolution. Evolution is such a, if you study it, and you know, it takes such a leap of faith to believe that everything that happened was just somehow from a big bang and just accidental, and it just happened to, you know, the molecules just happened to arrive in a certain place, a certain way, and that there are no deformities. You see fish with two eyes, you see people, and you see, and everything is working exactly in tandem. The sun and the earth are just exactly the right amount of distance from each other. If we'd be a couple of miles closer, we'd be burned up. If we'd be further away, we'd freeze to death. But everything just happened randomly. It shouldn't sit well with you to believe in evolution. It's just not because of Frumkeit. Just rationally, it doesn't make sense. It's much easier for a person to believe that there's a creator that created this world than to have to go and, you know, do tumble salts and mental gymnastics to believe that there's such randomness that could create such perfection. So what is the question that a person has? If it's not about the belief in God himself, we believe that there is a Rabbeinu Shalom. But what I think a lot of us might question, if there's a point to question, it would be this. I believe that there is a God, but I don't believe that I personally matter to him. Meaning, I believe there's a God, but God is busy with his galaxies. God is busy with maybe international affairs, with making sure that, you know, who's fighting what and what's happening, and maybe, you know, but that God cares about me, that God really is concerned about me, that, I don't know if he cares about me, I'm just a little speck of dust in the universe. There's 8 billion other people that he has to worry about. He really thinks about me. He loves me. He cares about me. And this is a dangerous question, because if you believe that Hashem really, I'm just a number, HaKadosh Baruch Hu really doesn't care about what I'm doing, then suddenly I'm able to do a lot of stuff because I'm off the radar. So I'm able to speak Lashon Hara. I'm able to, watch things that I want to watch. I'm able to go places I want to go. I don't have to wake up and say Maidani and do Negel Vasa, because he doesn't care. I don't believe that he cares. He's too big to care about small little me. And to counter that erroneous hanacha, that erroneous assumption about God and me, Yetzias Mitzrayim comes and teaches us through this mitzvah of Sifrei Yetzias Mitzrayim that you have to understand, if there's one major legacy of Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's that you see from the makas, you see from all the maisim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't just care on a macro level, but he was concerned with things all the way down to the most micro level possible. And we'll speak about how you see this from the makas. This is not my Torah, by the way. Whatever I'm saying right now, you'll find in Reb Shimshon Pinkus' Torah, and as he also, the site is from the Alter of Slabodka, earlier than Reb Pinkus. But this is what they say. If you look in the mitzvah, in the chinuch, mitzvah chaf aleph, he writes that the shayresh of the mitzvah of Sifrei Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Sefer HaChinuch, is one of the most popular svarim of all times. And the reason that it is because he gives you his minyan of Tayreg mitzvahs, very often on sort of very in close tandem with the Rambam's minyan of mitzvahs. But the beauty of the Sefer, the uniqueness of the Sefer HaChinuch, is that generally speaking, with certain exceptions, he will give you the shirish of a mitzvah. He will give you a musar dahara, an idea to take out of every mitzvah. So, I know there's a mitzvah of tzitzis, but what does it do for me? I know there's a mitzvah of tefillin, of Shabbos, but how does it affect me? So the chinuch goes, and the chinuch is called the chinuch because he wrote this for his friend, for his son and his friend and his son's friends, who were, I think they were turning bar mitzvah. He wanted to give them a time of the mitzvah. Like, I don't want you just to do mitzvahs just because they're mitzvahs. I want you to understand them a little bit and get a feel for them. So he wrote, by every mitzvah, kimat, with certain exceptions, he wrote a time of the mitzvah. He gave us a reason, an underlying reason, that we could understand what we're doing, we could be inspired by what we're doing. And that is, I think, one of the great things about the Sefer HaChinuch. He provides a lot of other details about the mitzvahs, and then of course the Minchas Chinuch and Achron comes and uses his sefer as a launching pad to speak about the most interesting halachas that arise from the mitzvahs and interesting nafkaminas and halacha. He always is busy with the tumtum and andragonus and different types of interesting questions that arise. I think Rabbi Yashar Soloveitchik said about the chinuch, about the Minchas Chinuch, he says that, I love the Minchas Chinuch because I love his questions. I don't always agree with his answers, but the questions are great. He has so many interesting questions. There was recently a sefer that was put out called Mincha Ketana. Somebody today in Lakewood, a year or two ago, and he did it on like a Minchas Chinuch on the Mitzvahs Derabbanan. Minchas Chinuch is only dealing with the Tayreg Mitzvahs. He was doing, and he did the same thing. He would like go, I heard him interviewed, and he said he went over to Big Talmid Chacham in Lakewood and beyond, and he said, just throw questions at me about Mitzvahs Derabbanan, like Chanukah, what are the Geshmaka questions that these very interesting Nafkaminas, Ladina, and then he worked on it, and he built a beautiful sefer on it. Anyway, when it comes to the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Chinuch writes as follows. The ein min ha-tema in bo lanu mitzvahs rabbi salzeh. And don't be so surprised that there are so many mitzvahs that are related to Yetzias Mitzrayim. We have so many mitzvahs, right? The Ramban speaks about this also at the end of Parshas Bai, when he's at this week's Parsha, which is also, if you have a chance, you should definitely look at the last Ramban in the parsha. It's the most famous Ramban by far. And you should know about it because when you're dating, the girls that you're dating will know this Ramban. You don't want to be embarrassed because the girls learn Ramban. But every single girl knows this Ramban at the end. And you look it up. I don't want to give it away. But it's very similar to what the Chinuch says. He says that don't be surprised why we need so many mitzvahs by Yetzias Mitzrayim. Like they're Tefillin, Shabbos, we make Kiddush Zeichlis Mitzrayim, Yantav Zeichlis Mitzrayim. Everything Zeichlis Mitzrayim came out. Why do we need so many reminders of Yetzias Mitzrayim? He says we have mitzvahs aseis, we have mitzvahs lois aseis. Here you say Gadol va'amar chazib v'tayraseinu u'be'amunaseinu, because Yetzias Mitzrayim is the underpinning, it's the foundation of all of our Torah and our Emunah. He says, V'al kein, anu aymrim la'olam b'birchasein v'tvaseinu, we keep saying, almost, you know, constantly, Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why? L'fi she'olanu oisim mayfis gam b'chidash ha'olam. It teaches us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. How does it teach us that? Because, look, Hashem overrode the laws of nature. He was able to split a sea. If you're able to split a sea, that means that you know the code to making a sea. I can't split a sea unless I made the sea. I can't make water into blood or dirt into kinim, or I can't do that unless I understand the code. I know how to make, I made it so I could change around things and affect it. But if I didn't make it, how could I do it? I can't change nature unless I made nature. So Yetzias Mitzrayim, first of all, teaches us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Borei Olam, the Chiddush Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu initiated the world and he created the world, Yesh Me'ayin. That's all clear if you're thinking about what's happening in Yetzias Mitzrayim. V'chi Yesh Aleka Kadmein Chefetz V'yachol Poel Kalan Emtzais, and he's also the Mashkiach of the world. He continues to guide and to navigate and to make the world continue to exist. And he continues and he says, just like in Mitzrayim, he changed nature for us and he made for us Eisais Mechudashim Gedeim Atzim, these unique Dam, Tzvardeya, Kinim, these are all very unique types of plagues that were brought. And he did it for us. And then listen to what he says. If anyone has a kfira, if anyone thinks for a second about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he didn't create the world, evolution. No, just look at Yetzias Mitzrayim and you will be disproven. Because you see Yetzias Mitzrayim teaches you, if you believe in the Makkas teach us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu must have created this world. And with that, you sustain and you maintain the emunah, you believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chi b'hashgachasai v'yecholtai v'chlalim u'befratim kulam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly monitoring the world. To what degree? To the nth degree. Everything is being done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashgacha. So Yetzias Mitzrayim is not just a random event in human history. Yetzias Mitzrayim teaches us from then until today and until the end of time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Kol Yachol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could change the world, all for Kol Yisrael, all for us. Let's look at some of the makas and see exactly how micro HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes for us, for you and me. So let's start with Dam. We're not going to go through all 10. We're just going to give a little flavor from a few of the Makkas. By Makkas Dam, Chazal tell us in the Yalkut that Hashir Yisrael, the Jews became very wealthy because of the Makkah of Dam. Why? Because if the Jew and an Egyptian were sitting together in a house, and there was a, this is famous, right? And there was a vat of water. The Jew could drink the water. He could scoop out water from this barrel. And he, for him, it's water. The mitzvah would scoop out water. It suddenly would turn into blood. And that's very cool. But what's even cooler is, let's say the Jew was drinking water from the barrel, and the mitzri would say, give me some of your water, and he would give it to him from his cup, it would still, of course, turn into blood in the mitzri's hand. Now, let's say the Egyptian would say, listen, I'll buy the water from you. I'm not going to just ask you to give me as a favor because I'm dying of thirst. I'll give you $100 for your water. If he paid for it, he would be able to drink water. And Chazal tell us that Mimakas Dam Heshir Yisrael, what we see is the Ashkacha Pratis Nifla, every single Jew became wealthy because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to change nature in such a dachistic way. It wasn't just, okay, I'll make the whole Mitzrayim Dam. No, he made it Dam for Egyptians, he made it Mayim for Klal Yisrael, and we were able to both see very clearly how a Jew's fate and a Mitzri's fate were completely different. And the Mitzri saw that only when he paid for it was he able to drink water. Look how specifically HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mashgiach on the world in such a dachistic manner. By Tzvardeya, by the Makkah of the frogs. So Chazal say that through the Makkah of Tzvardeya, it says, "Es kol gevulcha," I'm going to cover your entire border with frogs. You know what happened? There was an interesting side effect that happened as a result of Makkah Tzvardeya. Chazal and Shemais Rabba Yud says, "Naseh shalom bein Kush u'Mitzrayim." There was always a long-lasting issue, like a machlekes between the two neighboring countries of Egypt and let's call it Ethiopia. They were bordering countries, but they always had this fight about, you know, where exactly is the border between our countries? A lot of countries have this, you know, that's why you need United Nations to come in and, you know, when they're not busy condemning Israel, maybe they could find a few minutes to work on these geopolitical issues. So the, I don't know, where is the border? Is it up to this river? Is it up to that mountain? Where is the border? There was a long, many generations, they were always fighting, Mitzrayim and the Kushim, about, you know, where our border lies. All of a sudden, they had a peace treaty. They had an Abraham Accord between Egypt and Kush. You know why? Because the Tzvardeya went up until the exact border of Mitzrayim, and it stopped by Kush's border. So they saw right away, the Yad Hashem, Hashem was basically deciding and determining the borderline. That's a very cool thing. That shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, up until the square centimeter of the border of Mitzrayim, that's where the Tzvardeya went to. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mamish going into the weeds, literally, of what's going on planet Earth. He's not just in the sky. He's coming down to Earth and he's saying that there's relevance in what I'm doing. Every little detail is by my hashkacha. It's interesting. There's a medrash that says that the same thing happened by Arba. By the Makkah of Arba, it says, Bigvulecha. The Makkah of Locusts also says, Bigvulecha. The question is, why does it have to say Bigvulecha? Like, and why is there was peace made again between Egypt and Mitzrayim, between Kush and Mitzrayim? Why need another peace treaty? We just had a peace treaty between them by Makkah's Tzvardeya. So I saw in a Haggadah called Simchas Yaivitz by Rabbi David Cohen from Brooklyn. It says, if you look in a pasuk in Tehillim, Kofhei, it says, Vayach gafna mutei nasam vayishaber etz gevulim, that by the Makkah of Barod, Barod went and smashed all of the trees that were the border trees. You know, they how did they establish the border? After Makkah Tzvardeya said, okay, this is where, you know, the Egyptian border goes up to. So they planted trees to show, okay, this is exactly the borderline. But the pasuk says by Barod that the Barod came, the hail came, and it smashed all those trees. Oh, so again, there was machlekes. So says Rav David Cohen, that's why you need it again by Arba, it's called Gvulecha, that the Arba once again determined the borderline, and they made peace once again. But again, you see the dakas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashkiach, he's manig the world with such precision. Such precision. I love the Vard of the Brisker Rav by Makkah's Barod. It says by Barod, Vayhi HaBarod B'chal Eretz Mitzrayim Ala Adam, There was barad on Egypt, in Egypt. And where did this barad hit? These like ice balls with fire coming out of them. It hit man, it hit behemoth, and it hit Esav Asada. It hit like certain, the grasses of the ground. Says the Brisket, why don't you say that barad came down? Do I have to say if it's raining outside, which I think it is, do I have to say, okay, the rain is coming down, and, you know, it hit man, I got wet, my dog got wet, and the grass got wet. Obviously, if rain is coming down, it's going to hit everything, right? Says the Brisker Rav, that's not the way it happened. It was like targeted missiles. Every single hail ball of Barad hit precision exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to hit. It was like a surgical strike against this man, against that man, against this piece of grass, against that animal, against this animal. That's why the Pasuk has to spell out what it hit. It wasn't just indiscriminate hail. It was like, you know, you see these videos of Israel, like striking, you know, different targets with the, you know, in the crosshairs, and these, you know, terrorists are coming out of the building, boom. And then, you know, and it goes precision. It's not like just carpet bombing. It goes exact. That's how the Makkah of Barad went down in Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was guiding the missiles. Everyone was having its exact target. You know, there's a Maisa with Meir Simcha. Meir Simcha, the Meshech Chachma, he was in his city of Divinsk during, I think it was World War I. And and there was a lot of bombings that was taking place, and a lot of his balabatim were nervous. Should we leave the town? Should we not? It was a very important city, the city of Divinsk, because it had a very big, to this day, could look online, there's like a very big armory, like a very big place that they keep the army and the ammunition. So the enemy was bombing Divinsk very specifically. And people were very nervous. You hear bombs falling, and they said, let's get out. He says, no, you don't have to get out. We have to stay and keep everything going. And he said, the Meshech Chachma has a famous line. He says, every bullet has an address. Meaning, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when there are bullets that are whizzing and flying and bombs falling, it's not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly where they're going to go. There's no such thing as just randomness in anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like the Barad, everything was specifically hitting its target. That's how it is with every bullet in life. Nothing happens. There's no bomb that happens anywhere in the world. But I guess specifically, you know, by Klal Yisrael, that just happened randomly. If it's supposed to hit, it will hit. If it's not supposed to, it's not going to hit. It doesn't mean to say that you should act recklessly and just like, you know, run around and in a war zone. But you have to always be careful. But you have to understand that everything that's done is guided by the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because of this, these are yesaidas that, you know, when a father is sitting at a Seder table with his children and he's talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim and all the Nisim, if he would be able to show how there's Hashkacha Pratis in all of the Makis and all the Maifsim, all the Nisim, and how by Kriyas Yamsov, Chazal tell us that there were 12 different tunnels. Every Shevet had their own tunnel. They were able to have windows that saw each other and, you know, to make sure that everyone else was okay. This is not Stam. This is not random miracles. These are miracles that show clearly the Yad Hashem and shows, more importantly, that we're all relevant in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. Nothing is random. Everything is exact. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about me, he cares about you. And he's watching over us. And if something good happens, it's because he's giving us a kiss that this he loves us. And when something bad happens, it just seems bad, but there's a reason that it happened, and we'll find out maybe what the reason is someday. But not to be ever disillusioned and say, God hates me, God doesn't care about me, he doesn't know about me, I'm irrelevant to him. That is the false notion that Yetzias Mitzrayim comes to overrule and override, and to teach a child on Leil HaSeder, and if that emunah sticks, it should go the entire year, that Hashem does care about me. Kadosh Baruch Hu exists, he's Mahava the world, he makes the world go round, but he makes me go round. Every single thing that I'm doing is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows about me and it's giving me the ability to function. You make an Asher Yatzar, and that means that you're admitting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in every physical thing that I do, whether it's moving my arms, moving my legs, or being able to digest my food and dispose of it afterwards, that's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about me personally. And that is the most important, essential lesson of Emunah, that if you have it, you're good. You have Emunah in Hashem. If you don't have this, if you doubt this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe, I don't know if he cares about me, if he knows what I'm doing, does he really know about the fact that if I bench on one slice of pizza or two slices of pizza, if I wash Nagel Wasser up until here, does it matter? And if you have an attitude that it doesn't matter, then the whole Mishnah Berurah, the whole Shulchan Aruch is out the window. Because, like, what does it matter? If there's a dot on the Esrik here versus there, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu notice? If you think he doesn't notice, then there's no mitzvahs. If you understand that he notices, he cares, he appreciates it, he finds it mehudardik, then you're okay, then you're good. Then you could go as a yid your entire life and give it over to your children and they to theirs. If you think, well, there's one thing that, you know, that doesn't sit well with me, that maybe, this is a good question, I guess, maybe it was true during the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Maybe then HaKadosh Baruch Hu cared about us. You have Moshe Rabbeinu, you have Aaron, you have Shishim Reba, you have, these were times of great people. But maybe today, things change. We're 2025, we're in America, you know, we have cell phones, we have rocket ships, we have a different world. How do I know today that HaKadosh Baruch Hu still has such interest in me and he has such hashkacha over everything that's happening? And of course, you know, we can answer that question ourselves, because I'm sure we all have stories of hashkacha pratis, how we see Hashem's hand, we feel Hashem's kisses sometimes when we need it very badly, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending us messages. But listen to a story. This is a letter that was sent by Rabbi Binyamin Mendelssohn. Rabbi Binyamin Mendelssohn was the Rav of a Moshav in Eretz Yisrael called Moshav Komamius. Komamius is a from Moshav. It goes back very long in the history of the State of Israel. You know, from, I think maybe even before the Medina was established, there might have been a Moshav Komamius. It was a from Moshav, and they were determined to keep the mitzvah of Shemitah Kelchasa. Wasn't so common. Not everybody, you know, there's Heter Mechiras, there's different ways of maybe skirting, if you even cared about the Mitzvah Shemitah altogether, but if you cared about it and you wanted to keep it properly, so Rav Binyamin Mendelssohn was the man that was going to be Eimed Ala Mishmar and make sure that it would be kept properly. Today, Baruch Hashem, in Eretz Yisrael, there is a vast, vast amount of farmers in Eretz Yisrael that keep Shemitah Kilchasa. There's organizations that help support them to get them through the year, Karen HaShvias and other organizations. But then it was very few and far in between. But Moshav Komamius was one of the few kibbutzim, moshavim, that really were trying to medaktik as much as they could in the halachas of Shemitah. And he writes in a letter two stories. I'm only going to say the second one. He says that we witnessed in Komamius in the Shemitah year 5719. That's 1958 to 1959. He says, I reported this story to the Brisker Rav. And the Brisker Rav says that it's a mitzvah lefarsim. It's a mitzvah to publicize what happened, what you saw with your own eyes. Listen to what happened. During the year prior to Shemitah, we had planted crops. Many of those fields had yielded produce that would be harvested and fed to the animals during the Shemitah year. This was in accordance with the halacha decision of the Ramban, who permits feeding animals produce planted before Shemitah and harvested on Shemitah. Understand? Normally, we understand that you're not allowed to harvest any food on Shemitah. The Ramban says if you planted it before Shemitah, you could harvest it on Shemitah only to feed your animals. You're not allowed to eat it yourself, but you could feed it to your animals. One Friday morning, the members of our settlement, of our moshav, came running to me in a state of extreme agitation, saying, a swarm of locusts has struck the neighboring settlements, meaning all the moshavim, all the moshavs that were abutting Kamamias, they were being swarmed with locusts. And they were afraid that they would start coming onto their moshav and also eating up all their produce that they needed for feeding their animals. And it is now heading towards Kamamias. So Mendelssohn told them, he said, I told them, and I'll read to you the Lashon in Hebrew, the Amarti, and I said to them, Nira Yeshua Hashem Yisbarach Shemitah. We're keeping Shemitah here. We're abiding by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's commandment to keep Shemitah. He says, let's go out now, and we will see with our own eyes what happens to people that keep Hashem's mitzvahs. V'hine ba machane gadol shel arba ad gibol kaimimiyus. Swarms of locusts came, and they came to the borderline of Kamamias, and they stopped. Ukeshachigia legvuleinu, as soon as they started coming to our border, tekef panulanu eref, they turned, or they made a U-turn. All of these millions of locusts just turned around, and they went back to the other fields. They did not step foot on Moshav Kamamias. V'loi nisha arba echad b'chol gvuleinu. Paraphrasing from a pasuk in this week's parasha, not a single arba walked in any of our borders. Hashem had again shown that he protects those who abide by his commands. This is how he ended off the letter. This is not very long ago. This is less than 100 years ago. This is in 1958, 1959. It's like, I don't know, 70, 80 years ago. And if you're not convinced that the Makkos that took place in Mitzrayim, that you would have been able to see Bechush, you would be able to see clearly how HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mamish controls the Bria for Klal Yisrael, and you know, well, that's so long ago, thousands of years ago, it doesn't speak to me. Okay, that's fair. But does it speak to you that within 100 years of today, an exact same miracle duplicated itself, that the locusts did not go on a ground, on land that was keeping Shemitah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls planet Earth, but not just macro planet Earth, but to the minutest detail of what's going on. Every single thing that's happening to us, if we stub our toe against the bed as we were getting up in the morning, that's from Hashem. And if we do well in business, that's from Hashem. And if we do well in our, you know, if we had a good first Seder, it's from Hashem. And if we were, everything is from Hashem. Hashem knows about us. He's giving us the kayach. Sometimes he takes away the kayach. But whatever it is, everything is known and is the direct connection between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just want to end with a vart, beautiful vart that Rav Shamshon Fall Hirsch said. There's a little bit of a backstory to this vart, that Rav Shamshon Fall Hirsch had a son-in-law. His name is Rav Shlomo Breuer, Rav Shlomo Zalman Breuer. And he was his successor. He took over for Rav Shamshon Fall Hirsch to be the Rav of Frankfurt. He took over as Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva in Frankfurt. And he once went on a trip, this Rav Shlomo Breuer, and he met Rav Shimon Seifer of Krakow. He was one of the sons of the Chasam Sefer. This Chasam Sefer had two very famous sons. One was the Ksav Sefer, who was the Rav in Preshburg, and then the other son was Rav, and took over for his father in Frankfurt after. And then there was another son, Rav Shimon Sefer, who was the Rav of the very prominent community of Krakow. So when Rav Shimon Sefer met with Rav Shlomo Breuer, he said, I heard a lot about your Shver, heard a lot about your father-in-law, Rav Shamshon Fall Hirsch. Tell me a vart from him. Let's hear a good vart. That's okay. I'm going to tell you a good vart. He says, in Adain Eilam, which is one of the most famous, if not maybe the most famous of all piyutim, we don't know exactly who wrote it. They think it was written by Reb Shlomo, what? Ibn Gabirol. Thank you. Reb Shlomo Ibn Gabirol. But it's not clear 100% that he wrote it. But we say it in the mornings if we wake up early and we say Adain Eilam. Some people say it at the end of davening. We say it on Shabbos at the end of davening. We say it by Kriyat Shema Al Amita Adonai Olamei, we sing it at on Yom Kippur night and Rosh Hashanah night after at the end. It's constantly, Adonai Olamei is like one of those piyutim that are obviously very, very fundamental to our religion. And in it, it basically is affirming that Adonai Olam Asher Malach v'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech before anyone, any creations were created. It's not like he was only the king by virtue of the fact that he has us. No, he was a king before we were created. He's going to be the king after we're, and he does everything. He's going to remain after all is over. He's still going to be alone. He was, he is, he will be. These are the basic, you know, rules about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the Adonai HaKadosh. He created, he's omnipotent, he's everything, he's almighty, all-powerful. He's eternal from the beginning of time to the end of time. It's all him. He is, was, will be. That's the first part of Adonai Olam. And then, says Rav Hirsch, suddenly it segues Adonai Olam and it starts speaking about something else, another aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vuhu keli v'chai gayali v'tzur chevli be'sara vuhu nisim anaisli minas kaisi v'yam ekra b'yad af kiruchi. Meaning, suddenly we go from speaking about the big God, the Adain Olam, he's the master of the universe, but then suddenly it switches gear and it says, vuhu keli. He's not just the big God of everybody, he's my personal God. Eli, he's my personal God. He's your personal God also. It's not a stira. He's a personal God to the billions of people in the world. But every single person should feel a personal, close relationship with Hashem. V'chai gael, v'tzur chevli, he's my rock. He's my redeemer. When things are bad, he's taking care of me. B'yad afkiruchi, at night, I give over my spirit to him. And when I wake up, he refreshes me. He gives it back to me. I'm not going to fear. Everything is good. Hashem is with me. Hashem leave la'ira. Says Rav Hirsch, that's why Adain Olam is such an important part of our liturgy, such an important part of our tefillos. Day and night, kids sing Adain Olam. Everyone, why? Because it's not just that it's an affirmation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the global king, but he's also like the local mayor. He's the local, he's my friend. He's my companion. He takes care of me. He's my protector. He's my doidi. He's my uncle, as it were. He loves me. He guides me. He's here for me. He's with me. That's the fundamental truth that a yid has to remember. It's not just you have to have emunah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists for me. He's here for me. He's worried about me. If something is bad and I cry to him, he's listening to me. And he's concerned about me. Just like we'd be concerned about a child that's not doing well, it would be paramount in our minds and we're worried and we're trying. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always busy with us, with me and with you. And that's Adain Olam. And that is the aside of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yitzias Mitzrayim gives over the emunah to our children, to the next generation. Don't think for a second that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not concerned about our fate, our personal fate, our personal lives. We're not relevant. We are. How do I know? Because look at Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim, everything was so to the minutest detail. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us clearly how he loves us. He was worried about us throughout the entire Shibud of Mitzrayim. We felt for hundreds of years alone. We didn't see the Yad Hashem. Suddenly, Yeshua Hashem Karef Ayin, and all things change, and we're able to see, because wow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares, he's giving me water and not the Mitzri. He's hitting the Mitzri with these bullets, and we're able to walk through them and not feel a thing, not be affected by them. The Tzvardei was going mamish to the border, and the Tzvardei and the Arben Kaimimias was going to the border. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows about us, he cares about us, he feels for us, he is aware of everything, he's guiding everything. If things are good, it's Hashem. Things are bad, it's Hashem. And when things change and turn around, that's from Hashem as well. This is why there's a unique mitzvah of Leil HaSeder, of being Mesaper, Lebincha, Leben Bincha, telling over to the next generation exactly what happened to the detail, to the specificity of Yetzias Mitzrayim, because when a child walks away from a Seder and it was done right, he's like, wow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with me. There's a God in the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going on. He's with me. There's Hashgacha Pratis. He's sending me messages. He's relating with me, to me. And this is something that will stay the entire life with the child as he gets older, and he himself becomes the Bala Mesira to give it over in turn to the next generation. Mirza Hashem, we should always be Zeicha to have strong emunah, strong bitach in the Rabbeinu Shalom. We should have all a beautiful Shabbos.